Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Salt Magic, Skin Magic by Lee Welch. Narrated by Joel Leslie. Chapter 1. October 1851. Sorin, Lord Thornby, opened the rectory field gate and checked the back of his left hand for the 100th time. He'd written the word leave on his skin in black ink. His hands had trembled as he'd done it, and the L had smeared against his cuff, but he could read it plainly enough. Leave. The gate was on the Rascalf estate, which belonged to Thornby's father, the 9th Marquess of Dalton. The hummocky field belonged to the rectory, which was a mile away in the village. A few bedraggled, black-faced sheep grazed at the far end, and Thornby knew he should shut the gate, but somehow did not quite like to. Keeping his left hand in front of him as though offering an arm to an invisible lady, he took a deep breath and stepped across the estate boundary. As he did so, he realized he'd be late for dinner if he didn't go back to the hall now. It would be unforgivably rude. But his gaze was on his hand. Leave. He stood one pace away from the gate, breathing hard. It was mid-afternoon. The weak autumn sun was still some distance from the horizon. Dinner was always at 7. He fumbled for his watch, hand shaking so much the glass front gave fractured reflections of sky, hedgerow, and his own pale face. It was not yet 3, but perhaps it would be best to go back now anyway. As he put the watch away, he saw the writing on his hand again. Leave. Yes, he must. Leave. Heart pounding, he took another step. But he was trespassing. He glanced around, shoulders hunching with guilt, a cold sweat prickling out on his back. This land belonged to the rectory. He shouldn't be here. He tried to breathe deeply. He was leaving Rascalf. Why shouldn't he walk across a field? The rector wouldn't mind. Although father was damnably rude to the fellow, the rector had no quarrel with Thornby. He took a third step. And stopped. Idiot! He'd left a lid off the inkwell. These days the staff at Rascalf was composed of the incompetent or the unreliable, those who couldn't secure a position elsewhere. Thornby could almost see the inkwell tipping under a careless duster, a black puddle engulfing the work of months. He must go back at once and put the lid on. His arm was at an odd angle in front of him, as if he expected a bird of prey to swoop down to his wrist. Foolish. There'd been no falcons at Rascal for years. Something black was on the back of his hand. He rubbed at it, but it wouldn't come off. It was writing. Very smudged. A word written in ink. Ink. Yes, he must hurry home and deal with the inkwell. The gate was only a couple of strides away. He shut it so the rector's sheep couldn't wander and hastened back to the hall, the chimneys of which could just be seen, rising above the yellows and coppers of Rampart's Wood. Rascalf Hall, the ancestral seat of the de Zombris, was a huge mishmash of styles and additions, punctuated by mullioned windows and so many chimneys and baroque flourishes that Thornby always felt it resembled a vast and sickly hedgehog. He approached the northern entrance at the back of the house. A month ago, the doorway here had been graced by a fine white marble portico, but it had been sold to pay some unavoidable debt of father's. The doorway now looked naked and a little surprised, like a man caught with his trousers down. As Thornby grabbed the cheap new iron handrail to spring up the cheap new sandstone steps, he noticed the blurred scrawl on the back of his hand. Leave. Daylight seemed to fall away and the air grow thin, as if the shadow of the hall was set on stifling him. Nausea swept over him and his legs turned to water. He dropped to a crouch on the steps, tugging at his tight cravat. Back at the hall.